It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. On today's Caped Wonder Superman podcast, it is finally here. The Superman the Movie soundtrack from La La Land Records.
This is the 40th anniversary remastered edition, and for the first time, restored from the first generation recording masters.
So what does it all mean? What's different? What's never been heard? We break it all down now.
Now, the Caped Wonder Superman podcast with Jake Owers and Jim Bowers on iHeartRadio.
And hello again, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of the Caped Wonder Superman podcast. As always, I am in Detroit, Michigan at the iHeart building, joined today by my super co-host who is on location in warm and sunny Hawaii, Jim Bowers. Jim, hello to you.
Oh, hello, Jay. It's wonderful here. I'm looking out on the infinity pool that goes right into the Pacific Ocean. It's just a glorious day here. And I'm so glad we get to talk about this release today.
This is exciting, and for some fans, just a little bit confusing. We feel like over the years, we have a pretty good grasp on the Superman the Movie soundtrack. There was that unbelievable film score box set back in 2008. So fans want to know, what is this exactly?
Well, this is something that I think it's going to blow everybody's minds because it was so unexpected, even from the producer, Mike Medicino, that we would have this opportunity to hear the score for the first time from the original tapes that played through the recording machines in Anvil Studios when John Williams conducted and recorded this score with the London Symphony Orchestra. So it's a miraculous discovery that was found in the Kansas vaults a year ago. So what we're going to hear is something like we've never heard before, Jay. It just kind of blows my mind that after all this time, we're going to hear the very best quality, like it was recorded yesterday, like we're hearing it for the first time.
And we've had Mike on before on our podcast, and he talked about how when he put together, I believe it was either the Rhino version or maybe it's the film score version, he was never really dealing with that first generation tape. I mean, the tape that was actually in the machine. He was either dealing with copies that were the working copies for the film or just second or even third generation, right?
Mike Medicino first mastered the score through Rhino Records on a 2-CD set, which came out on February 15th, 2000. And he was dealing with what's called the Album Master, which is some generations away from the original tapes to make that particular release. And then along came the 35 millimeter magnetic film reels that they had pulled out from the vaults because Warner Brothers was getting ready to release the movie on DVD. And as you know, Jay, they did a lot of work on that 2001 DVD release with lots of documentaries and remastered all that footage. So there was an opportunity right after the Rhino release came out for Mike to use an even better quality version from these 35 millimeter magnetic film reels. So the Film Score Monthly release, which also came out on February 15th, but in 2008, he had a better quality master to work from. So we thought that was it. You know, that's the best quality there is. And this is the definitive box. And while I still feel it really is a fantastic box, you're still going to want to buy this new release because it's just over the top, crystal clear and beautiful to listen to. I've heard it in the car. I've heard it in earphones. And I'm just hearing so much more than I've ever heard before.
And let's talk a little bit about the La La Land releases just over the last year or so, because we had a Superman 4 soundtrack and then we had a Superman 2 and 3 combo together. These are all remastered from original source, right?
Superman 4 is basically the same release as what you hear in the 2008 Film Score Monthly box. But he told me he went in and did some tweaking and some improving. He heard a little bit more with his equipment that he's using today and his software that enabled him to refine it a little bit better. And of course, with each La La Land release. You get just exquisite artwork and the booklets that come in them. Jim Titus, the art designer, does such a great job with all of these. So they really put a lot of love into all the releases. So for sake of completion, you would have wanted to pick up this Superman 4. And it is for sale still, of course, on their website. And then along comes the Superman 2 and Superman 3 release last October. And they decided to release all of Ken Thorne's music in one box. Of course, Ken did Superman 2 and Superman 3, reworking a lot of John Williams' themes, including themes that he didn't release. Along with that Superman 2 and 3 release is a section in there called Source Music. And you know what Source Music is, Jay? It's stuff that you hear either on the radio, playing in the car, during a scene, or background music, that sort of thing. So my understanding is John Williams didn't want the source music on this new Superman the movie release. So you're going to want the Superman 2 and 3 to go along with it, because there's new source material on the Superman 2, 3 that wasn't in the Film Score Monthly box. Yep, I know all this is really confusing, but let's recap again. Superman 2 and 3's new release from October on La La Land Records website, still for sale. Together with the Superman the movie release of last week, you put those together and you're going to get all of John Williams' original stuff from Superman the movie in first generation. Mm. So that's really, really cool. I had no idea at all, the beginning of all this, that John Williams had written all of that source music, most of which we hear actually in the extended cut of Superman. Remember that when you first heard more stuff on the extended cut, more music? The extra music that you hear in the extended cut of Superman the movie is also first generation on these releases.
If you have the Film Score Monthly box set, it is a fine box set. It really is very complete. But what you're going to get through La La Land Records now, 1, 2, 3, and 4, these are all the first generation and a little bit more. And we should talk about what the little bit more is, because what you don't have are two new cuts that we didn't have before.
We already talked about the source music, additional source music, not in the Film Score Monthly box that's now available, but that's on the Superman 2, 3 release.
Right.
So on the Superman the movie release itself, reworked liner notes that Mike Medicino wrote that are just fantastic. The most exciting is the new alternate Fortress of Solitude cue. And this is something completely different, or nearly completely different than you've ever heard before. And I remember when I first heard it, I was just jumping out of my seat. It was written for a version of Clark Kent walking through the Arctic and coming upon the Fortress of Solitude that already exists. So rather than him stopping, pulling his green crystal out of his backpack, throwing it, and the fortress is formed in front of us, he walks through the Arctic, stops, and he discovers the fortress already built. I had never heard that before. So from that point, he walks into the fortress. It's already built, walks up to the control console, and then Jor-El appears. So the cue you're going to hear is basically walking up, seeing the fortress, walking in the fortress, and then putting the crystal into the control console. So this is a beautiful cue. I can't wait for you to hear it. In fact, it reminds me of some of John Williams' other work. You know, that's pretty typical. But when I first heard it, I heard a little bit of Jaws. I heard some Star Wars in there. And I think you mentioned that it even sounded a little bit like the Mission theme.
Well, I always thought the Mission theme, which is the NBC News theme from John Williams, always felt a little like E.T. Boy, this cut is really unbelievable, because the first time you hear it, you're going to get lost in it. And then the second time you hear it, you're going to try placing it. And then the third time you hear it, you're going to wish that it was in the movie. But it's just so rare that we find a piece of music that sounds like Superman but is different. And I guess the million-dollar question is, when John Williams scored this, what was he looking at?
Right, and that goes back to something that I've said before, is we really don't know the exact cut that John Williams was using when he scored this movie. We know it's a much longer cut than the theatrical 143 minutes because, again, there's music playing over extended scenes, and there's also music playing over theatrical scenes in the extended cut that we don't hear in the theater. But yeah, I'd like to know, and I haven't asked Jeff East yet, and I intend to, does he remember filming a version where he just walks up and sees the Fortress of Solitude, you know, just sitting there before him, And he, with a look of astonishment, like, what is this? And it, you know, it's calling to him like the green crystal did. So we don't know yet. And maybe we will one day. But, you know, did John must have seen some version of that in order for him to have recorded it? Because it, I always assume that John recorded his music while watching the scene. You know, we've seen a lot of behind the scenes footage over the years of him watching a Star Wars scene or Superman, or we've still got some unanswered questions there. But the fact that we have this is really amazing because it came out of nowhere. And even Mike Medicino talks about having spotting notes from the guys who worked on the score. And the spotting notes are basically just notes that are written down about the details of the track that they're going to record. And in those spotting notes, it talks about Clark Kent comes upon the Fortress of Solitude. That's really cool.
This would be disc number 2, and that will be track number 15. So that's definitely one to listen to for sure.
Right. I really love Prelude and Main Theme. And this is a different version than you hear in the movie. Disc 2, track number 12. The first time I remember hearing a portion of it was actually in that trailer that you've seen online that I've hosted on Cape Wonder and you've seen elsewhere. And it's what I refer to as the simple line drawing
yes.
trailer.
Let me play a little bit of that.
Today, sure. At last, his evolution is complete. Brought to life by the awesome technology of film and by an extraordinary cast of stars. Marlon Brando is Jor-El.
Boy, and now listen to what that sounds like, just as clear as you can get. It feels like you're there.
Oh, it's great. And I've always played that version more in my car because I love listening to this music when I'm driving, you know. If you've not watched the Simple Line Drawing trailer before, get on Cape Wonder and check it out because it's one of my favorite trailers for the movie. And it sounds so much better on this one. And then there's a cue or a track on this new release, I Can Fly. Yeah, it's on the Film Score Monthly version, but Mike tells me that there's about 14 extra seconds in this new version from La La Land. And a little bit of interesting background information about it is that the 14 seconds that you're now going to hear in this version, it was believed originally that Alexander Courage, who scored Superman 4, was the one who wrote those 14 seconds based on John's previous work, when in fact it was written by John Williams himself. So you can hear that 14 seconds from I Can Fly in this new release. You can actually hear it in the track called Fresh Air in the Alexander Courage Superman 4 score.
Well, this is what it sounds like in Superman 4. You know, and the music goes on, but hearing it in this new way shows it how it all kind of comes together at the end in I Can Fly. Listen. I mean, that's the scene where they're flying together past the Statue of Liberty and head up into the clouds at the end, right?
That's right. The I Can Fly piece was actually composed for a shorter version of that scene, but they ended up editing it again a little bit differently and didn't use it. So this was actually unused. That's another new piece of music that you're hearing in this new release. And of course, then we get on to Disc 3, Jay, which is the original 1978 album that Mike Medicino recreated from the original source tapes. So what you're hearing for the first time on this new release is the complete record album, but in the best quality you can get.
you have mentioned before that the one thing missing was the helicopter scene. Is the helicopter scene included in disc three as it should have been, or is it as true to the original as you get?
It's as true to the original as you can get. It's a duplication, if you will, but again, a whole lot better quality, because, you know, when they prep a score for an album, it has to be done completely different, in a different way. I don't know all the technical differences, but Mike's told me that you basically have to start over and master it specifically for a record album. So it was a few generations away back in the day on the record cassette and the 8-track. When did you first buy the score, by the way, Jay?
You know, I wish I could remember. I know that I got the album as a Christmas gift. And I know that that album that I have, the two record set, did not have the sticker on the back, which leads me to believe that it was a later version that my parents purchased for me. And when I mentioned the sticker, you can better explain to people listening that the rush to get that album done and why there's a sticker on the back.
Yeah, they were so rushed to get the actual cardboard sleeve printed that they didn't have the track list finalized yet. So they had to go ahead and print those and then make stickers later to put on the back of them. Not all of these cardboard sleeves had stickers on the back. Some of them were actually printed because they were later printings. But if you go back and look at your album, you might see if you have a sticker on the back of it. If you do, it's, you know, one of the first.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about that disc three of this La La Land Records release, that remastered 1978 original soundtrack. One of the cuts, and it is cut number 10, is called Super Rescues. You and I had a great talk about this the other day, just how the Super Rescues, the themes in that cut are out of order from the film.
Yeah, they are. I went back and listened to it again last night. And that Super Rescues track is actually different than the Super Rescues track that you hear elsewhere in this new release, by the way. You hear three rescues, actually. The first being the cat rescue, Frisky the cat. And then it goes to the burglar climbing up the side of the building, and then to Air Force One. Of course, that's not in the order we see it in the movie. So it's interesting that they chose to make one track with three cues out of order.
Right.
Because, of course, in the movie itself, it's the helicopter rescue, followed by the burglar, followed by the bank robbers or the boat robbers, then Frisky the cat, and then Air Force One. So why they chose to do it out of order, I don't know. I mean, it sounds great, but it's really fun going back and listening to that again. And that's what we were so used to for so many years until really 1998. Did you buy that John Debney re-recording?
I sure did. And I still have it and treasure it, because back in 1998, to have that CD, it certainly felt like you were getting everything from the movie, including the famous helicopter scene. And it's not until you really listen to the Rhino version or versions after that that you realize, well, this, like you just said, it was a re-recording. This was not the music used in the film, and never really noticed it until you can really put them all next to each other and listen to them.
Right. The Debney release is something I listened to over and over again. And you know, what really motivated me to buy it was the fact that the helicopter rescue was on there. And I do remember back in high school when I first got the record album, I'm waiting for the helicopter rescue to show up because I'd already seen the movie a few times, but it wasn't there. And I never knew why. But the John Debney release was very exciting. It's a little slower on the tempi or the...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The tempo is a little bit slower, and it sounds like it's more in a concert hall than in a studio recording. Another couple things I really loved about it was that it showed two pieces of unused, unreleased Bob Peak Superman the Movie artwork in the booklet and in the packaging. So everybody's like, wow, look at that. So it wasn't until the Rhino release that we really got to hear John's helicopter scene and a whole bunch more.
I want to talk to you about John Williams' source material. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning of the podcast, but let's kind of deconstruct, if we can, the best we can, a scene from Superman the movie, the extended cut, where Lois Lane decides she's going to turn on the radio and she flips around some channels. And this is what it sounded like in the film. You know, when she goes on to drive, and then there's scenes of Superman chasing the rocket, and then we go back to her to find she's listening to Supertramp. Yeah, no one's in the gas station. But let's talk about some of the cuts that we hear just within that short scene.
That's new stuff. That's on the Superman 2-3 source music release, and written by John Williams and recorded at Anvil Studios, like the rest of the score. So the Supertramp, of course, we know why that's in the movie, because Richard Donner was a huge Supertramp fan. He may still be, and used to crank Supertramp in his office. The message of that song is, you know, give a little bit of my life for you. So it's perfect for, yeah, for Superman trying to save everybody.
Let me play a little bit.
That came from the May 1977 album called Even in the Quietest Moments. And if you guys have never owned a Supertramp album, I became a Supertramp fan the minute I heard that song. And that's a fantastic album. All of their albums from the 70s are worth your time. The album prior to it, called A Crime of the Century, is a classic. So pick those up if you never have. You know, May 1977, that whole year had some just great music.
But you think about John Williams trying to recreate music that would be appropriate to the era, and you listen to this cut again that was playing in Lois's car, and how much it does in fact sound like the 70s. I mean, that's awesome. Those are just those little touches that make the movie so exciting.
Oh, yeah. And I could even hear that on the jukebox instead of the average white band song in the Superman 2 scene in the little town.
Remember
that's when
right.
You walk in? I could even hear that playing on the jukebox, you know, that background music that you hear, but you don't really hear it.
Jim, let's talk a little bit about Richard Donner. One of our favorite documentaries, Richard Donner, speaks of a moment where he blew a take because he was so blown away by the music of John Williams. But we've tried to investigate that further. I know Mike has, and he mentioned it on our last podcast where we got to speak to him. But there was really no evidence of that. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. Mike firmly believes, after listening to all these original masters, that he didn't actually ruin a take, but that he may have ruined a rehearsal. So because there's no take of the score where you hear somebody in the background go, genius, genius, you know, in his very distinctive Richard Donner deep voice. And then stop, you know. So he looked for it, I believe, and didn't find any evidence to that effect. So that may have just become, you know, a little bit of folklore along the way. I meant to ask you before, Jay, what's your first memory of hearing a Williams score?
I think it might be Star Wars. You know, late 70s. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without hearing the Star Wars, hearing the disco version of Star Wars. Probably between Star Wars and Superman, that'd be it. And then, of course, going further, you think about Raiders of the Lost Ark and Jaws.
I was an Army brat, so I moved all over the world throughout my childhood. And when I lived in Panama Canal Zone, my parents decided to take me to a movie called The Poseidon Adventure, 1972. And, of course, the preacher or the minister in it was Gene Hackman. That movie, of course, is about a tidal wave that flips over a cruise ship during New Year's. And that is the score that I first heard John Williams, that at least that I can remember. But the first score I ever bought on record was definitely Jaws. And I remember my room was underneath the kitchen in these army houses, and I would crank that music and it would resonate up through the floor into the kitchen. And I'd hear my mom scream, turn it down, because I drove her nuts. what's dun 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 dun. You know, she never went to see the movie. Dad took me to see it, and to this day, she's never seen it. But yeah, I think Jaws was probably the first for a lot of people, at least buying it on a record.
The Superman 4 soundtrack, I just wanted to spend just a quick minute on this because in our last podcast where we had an opportunity to talk to Mike, he mentioned that Superman 4 soundtrack is just so amazing to listen to. And if you're a real fan of this music, and don't get me wrong, it's great to hear some of these new cues, the Fortress cue we're excited about. But that Superman 4 soundtrack was all, you know, put together, Alexander Courage, based on a very long version of that film. So if you really don't spend time with that soundtrack, you're missing out on some great, great music cues.
That's a good point, because I actually listened to Superman 4 score more than I do 2 and 3. Now, Alexander Courage, of course, did the score based on a lot of John Williams themes. John actually wrote new themes just for Superman 4, including Jeremy's theme. I think his work on that score is fantastic. It's actually based on a full edit that was shown to a test audience, I believe, in California. It's a 134-minute edit, as opposed to what we saw in the theater, which was cut way down to 89 minutes. The Laserdisc from Japan's got a couple extra scenes, but you really do. I agree with you, Jay. If you've not listened to the Superman 4 score, I think it's the next best thing to Superman the movie.
Tell me about the work that goes into doing these remasters.
Mike has been very passionate about making sure that he always finds the best source material for these releases. You know, he's done releases for a bunch of different labels. The one he's working with the most, my understanding, is La La Land. He just released an 8-CD set for the Harry Potter movies, which was a monumental task, according to Mike, to complete. He's really considered the premier producer and now remastering guy for some of our favorite scores. And he's told me that John Williams will only allow Mike to master his stuff from the 90s on back. So that's what an honor that must be. But Mike has been busier than ever. He's released Schindler's List. He's got some other John Williams releases coming out soon that I can't mention yet. But I think you told me, Jay, that you've just been on a real soundtrack buying spree because you've gotten so excited about Superman that you've decided to grab a bunch of other Williams titles.
Yeah, and for me, I love the Home Alone movies with Macaulay Culkin, at least the first two. John Williams did such beautiful scores for those films. And I've always been a guy that thought, you know, the soundtrack that's on iTunes is the soundtrack. That's it. But again, the fact that La La Land goes in and really gives the same treatment that we're getting with Superman with so many other films. You can spend a little money, but it is worth it. And there's something special about having them on CD and kind of bringing that vibe back into your car again, putting the CD in and really listening to it and getting sucked into it and not advancing cuts on a phone.
We seem to be in the age right now where a lot of artists, both music composers and bands themselves, are going back into the vaults and pulling out all this alternate material, outtakes, B-sides, all of that. So I'm loving all of the music releases that are coming out these days where they have an extra CD of alternate takes. Fleetwood Mac's released stuff like that, Led Zeppelin, so many bands. So I hope it's not a trend. I hope it keeps going because we've got so much music from our youth that we've never heard that keeps coming out of the woodwork. So it's great. I've got to thank Mike for this Superman release. He's kept me in the loop throughout the past year about his excitement getting hold of these original masters and working his magic on those. And the associate producer that's worked with Mike on so many releases is Neil Bulk. Thanks so much to Neil. And Jim Titus, he's the designer of all these booklets and CD set graphics and photography, and I've helped him with that on the Superman release. And, you know, his stuff is so unique. He tries to bring something totally new and fresh to something we're already familiar with. So all the guys at La La Land, thank you. Thank you so much for this very special release.
You know, Jim, there are fans across the globe of Superman, of John Williams. There's a great The Legacy of JohnWilliams.com website, which really gets in depth to the soundtrack with Mike Medicino. And I encourage people to go check that out. Also, there are fans around the world that have been doing podcasts and interviews about this soundtrack for a long time. And you know one of them well.
Well, I do. I apologize if I mispronounced your name, but This gentleman is from Pakistan, and his name is Amir Zahid. He has contacted me in the past. He's a very passionate score aficionado, and he's actually interviewed associate producer Neil Bulk, who I've mentioned before, that works time and time again with Mike Mendocino on all these great releases. And you can read some of his interviews online if you just type in Neil, N-E-I-L, Bulk, B-U-L-K, Superman. And Amir's stuff will come up. He's very detailed, obviously really passionate about all this. And he's only heard the MP3s of the new Superman the Movie score that are available on the La La Land Records website, by the way. We hadn't mentioned that before, but get on there and go to track listings and you can hear pieces of some of the tracks that are on there and the quality. And you can tell just from the MP3s how much better the quality is. And he does talk about that. He wrote to me and actually recorded a review, if you will, of how excited he is to hear the whole thing. And I think you've got an excerpt from that, Jay.
Absolutely. We'll put the entire review on CapedWonder.com, but here you go.
The detailing in the various orchestral parts is so clear now. So much care and love has gone in the restoration on one of the key sequences of the film, the helicopter rescue, which is also a favorite cue of Mendocino. Now, the soundstage not only seems to be better preserved, but also allows greater details to emerge from the mix. I'm most excited that another unused alternate segment of The Fortress of Solitude has been discovered. The original cue alone was majestic and is a favorite of mine, and I can't wait to hear this nugget of joy. The emergence of the original master sessions has allowed Mike Mendocino to lovingly reconstruct from scratch the Grammy award-winning original soundtrack album program as Disc 3. It's like the final icing on the cake. This actually is the U.S. premiere of that program on the CD for the first time as well.
Mm. And just the way he says icing on the cake makes me want cake.
Well, cake or maybe apple pie with a big scoop of French vanilla ice cream on top. What do you think?
Sounds good.
What I love about what Amir said at the very end of his review, simply put, it's like hearing Superman the Movie for the first time.
Yeah.
And it really is. And I can't emphasize that enough to the fans out there. And they're already writing to me so excited. And they've just heard a few little things on La La Land's CD. So, you know, everything is shipping to fans who have already ordered. It starts shipping on the 22nd of February. So you definitely need to go pre-order this, because I can't wait to hear from all of you once you've heard the whole thing.
And we'll have plenty to discuss and look forward to discussing it in the upcoming weeks. But getting that release off lalalandrecords.com, Superman the Movie 40th Anniversary Remastered Edition is available right now. And why would you get it? Well, Lex says it best.
This is Lex Luthor.
Perhaps people know who I am.
Only one thing alive with less than four legs can hear this frequency, Superman, and that's you.
And now that's you.
Yeah, and you'll feel like you're using super hearing because you're going to hear so much more, really. I encourage you to rip that baby open, go to CD2, track 15, and just take it in. Close your eyes and try to imagine what the scene would have been like. And then we want to hear from you. When I heard that the first time, Jay, I just was like, oh my God, it's like a brand new movie.
And you know what? And people have asked, and we got a great question on Twitter. I'm good with my original box set from 2008, my Film Score Monthly. Why do I need this? And if this podcast hasn't explained it thorough enough, the best way to probably explain it is you're talking about loving something, say, on VHS and then seeing it on DVD or Blu-ray for the first time. I mean, this is just a different way to hear something that you love, and it really feels like you're there.
Oh, it definitely does. And I hope we've enlightened you a little bit about what's happening with this, why you should own it. And if you do have any additional questions, and you run them by me or run them by Jay, or if we can't answer them, we will definitely try to get the answers for you. But it's definitely going to speak for itself the minute you put it on your CD player. So I can't wait for you to hear it. It's really truly a dynamic release.
Just a couple of quick reminders. You can find our podcast page on Facebook, the Caped Wonder Superman podcast Facebook page. Also, CapedWonder.com is your number one source for everything when it comes to these fine Christopher Reeve legacy Superman films that we love talking about so much. And how would you like to hang out with Jim and I and all of your other super friends? We're going to hang out together at Motor City Comic Con. It is the 30th anniversary for Motor City Comic Con. It's at MotorCityComicCon.com, coming to Metro Detroit in May of this year. A special night with Sarah Douglas, hosted by Jim and myself, for a wonderful charity in Detroit to help feed kids during the summer months. So we hope you'll get information on that. Jim, if you're going to make one trip this year to any Comic-Con, to any celebration?
This is definitely the one. In fact, this is probably the only one I'm going to attend. And I can't wait to see some friends that were there last year and meet a lot of new friends. That's one of the reasons I love these conventions so much, is the opportunity to finally meet people that I've talked to on social media. Jack O'Halloran and Sarah Douglas are so excited about being there and meeting everybody. And we've got some other surprises that we hope we'll be able to share with you once you arrive. Come there. Detroit is beautiful that time of year. I know you've got a ton of snow right now, but by the time you get there in May, you've got some beautiful weather. There's so much to do, great places to go eat. And we may be showing a movie during Comic-Con. Isn't that right?
We may be showing a few. So Motor City Comic-Con, May 17th through the 19th. It's at the Suburban Collection Showplace. That's right in Novi, Michigan. And of course, on the 16th, May 16th, at Petrozello's, an evening with Sarah Douglas, hosted by myself and Jim Bowers. This is your real opportunity for an intimate, interactive experience. Not only a complete full dinner, Tito's vodka, but a Q&A with Sarah, some great clips from many of her films, including, of course, Superman and Superman 2. So all the details are up online right now. And that said, Jim, enjoy Hawaii. We'll talk again next week.
Hey, Jay, thanks so much. This has been a blast. I can't wait to do the next one. And fans, just have a great time taking in this new Superman the Movie release. And let us know what you think. We're really eager to hear from you.
You've been listening to the Caped Wonders Superman podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Jay Towers is a Detroit TV anchor and morning radio host on 100.3 WNIC Detroit. Follow Jay on Instagram and Twitter at Jay Towers. Jim Bowers is the founder and editor of CapedWonder.com, the home of Caped Wonder Superman imagery. Follow Jim on Instagram at Cape Wonder and on Twitter at Cape Wonder Jim.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.